Today. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You ought to have, and I know I do have joy down in my heart. Amen. Because this is a day that the Lord has made, brand new, never been used before. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to be here and know who I am and know who God is. Amen. It's just such an honor. Hallelujah. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. To the Lord God, Jehovah, the Father. Hallelujah. The blessed Holy Ghost. Amen, Pastor O. Amen, my producer and lovely wife. And amen, and friends and saints. Amen, from all the different churches. Amen, and I didn't forget my sister in Brownstown. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen, I say praise the Lord. Amen. Now, just thank God for this opportunity because we're still talking about prayer. Amen, because that's right now very essential in the body of Christ, being that the body of Christ is the only people that can do it. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do bless you. We do honor you because you love us so tremendously that you paid the price for our salvation with the blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being obedient throughout your life and unto the cross and the death. Amen, resulting in your burial and resurrection. We thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our comforter, being our guide, being our strength, being our keeper, being our teacher, being our friend. Hallelujah, that we can never declare that we are friendless. Father God, we thank you for all the men and women of God, amen, pastors throughout the United States, Lord. We put them on the top of the list, and not only here, but all over the world, that you would bless them with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, blessing the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we'll more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available to those that submit and obey you. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened more, that we'll know what is the hope of your calling. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking that you bless our tongue, my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon your hearts of your people and even my own. I want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I look, I generally avoid the news, I guess, because I used to, was part of the news for so long. You know, it's amazing. People would ask me, did we have custody of a specific individual that committed a crime such as homicide? And I'm like, which one? The news pick and choose which one. People have no idea how hard angels work to keep them alive. Believe me, it's always been dangerous out there. It didn't just start because the media started covering it. And the media was kind of forced into sharing more because now you have all these off-media companies and sites that, websites that now report what they don't report, you know, and I was shocked at what went on once I went into law enforcement. I had no idea so many people committed suicide. It's astounding. I didn't know, you know, they would report the homicide rate in the news. Let me tell you something. I remember one year, this was back in the 90s, when in the county I live in, Wayne County in Michigan, Detroit, some 15,000 people died in one year. Think about that. About 600 were homicides. But 15,000 people died in various ways. Auto accidents, choking, electrocutions, falling down steps, slipping in bathtubs. I mean, there's so many ways people left here, heart attacks, you know, you name it. That's an astounding number. And yet people walk around as though they don't need that afterlife insurance by Jesus Christ Mutual. You don't know how you're going to leave here. You know what? I have been shot at, I mean, car accidents, and I wasn't driving. I mean, and it's, people ran into me in the car. I mean, it's been all types of things that have happened to me. You know, the closest I've actually come to dying, well, I don't know. It's a tough race between crashing a motorcycle at 95 miles an hour. But I really think it was choking on a strawberry and wasn't nobody around to do a Heimlich. I had to bounce on the corner of a table to dislodge it. That's the only thing I could think of. Anyway, you know, fortunately, I had knowledge to do that. I mean, I'm one of them people that I wouldn't be disappointed if I had died. Y'all might be, but, you know, there's a lot going on the other side. They don't have to deal with all this drama. If I'd had the table we had my wife bought recently, it's a round table. You know, they'd had to get a replacement. But praise the Lord anyhow. All right. So we're moving a little more closer. And I believe God is going this direction because of the new people that have come on, that have become involved, that are known. Because one of the most critical areas and one of the things that disturbed me is how people just throw the term prayer around. You know, and they'll say, our prayers and our thoughts are with you. And that's nice. I get the intent of their heart. But in reality, when you're talking about having a prayer answered by the Lord God, Jehovah, El Shaddai, you know, El Elohim, it don't quite work that easy. I mean, he would love it to be that way, but understand you have to be cognizant of the reality that he designed this life, and there's a process that we must learn, and the main thing that we learn is that he is God, and we are submissive to him. And that has to be voluntary. If it wasn't voluntary, there would be no judgment, okay? He didn't make you come. Okay, your parents had a direct role. Our parents had a direct role. I had a direct role in four people coming in here. Oh, five, I think. I don't know. Anyway, but I know I was directly responsible for four, all right, which has resulted in two generations. Now, as a parent, I have an obligation to pray. Amen. You know, one of the things you find Let me go to let's go to Genesis chapter, I believe chapter 18, and it says, let me see, okay. I should have wrote it down. But anyway, bottom line is, I'm trying to find where Abraham, God said that Abraham, he know Abraham, that Abraham will teach his children. You know, and that's the fact of the reality. We have, as parents, a responsibility to learn of God, to learn of his ways. All right, it is. It's in Abraham. It's in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. It says, "For I have chosen." Let me read this clearly. Now, this is just God coming before the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's gonna speak to Abraham. And this is, amen. Bless the Holy Ghost, because John 16:13 said that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit shall, 16b, the last part of it, that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. We just have to be paying attention, okay? And throughout the Bible, God does not do judgment by surprise, okay? And he does, he counts, he looked for us to intercede. This is part of our primary role. Now, understand, this happened long before, 500 years before Moses came on the scene and God gave him the law and the design for the priesthood. Here, he's going to deal with Abraham, but the only point I want to deal with this, I think, okay, it says, and hallelujah, it said, then the Lord said, and that's something for God to come visit you. Let me tell you something. If you get into worship at home, God will visit you. You will know it. God's presence, when God's presence show up, everything negative in your environment, all the demons, they have to back off. They make way for his presence. And there is a joy and a peace that is just overwhelming. So great. You have to tell God to just, you got to, like, can I step back here? I'm telling you. And that whenever, ever you come in contact in the presence of God, at church, at home, in your car, he has deposited something in your spirit. Okay? So this is the thing you have to remember about prayer. Prayer occurs in the heavenly realm. It does not. You on earth, your spirit is allowed because of the blood of Jesus to transition into the heavenly realm. There's more occurring than you think is happening. You may think you're just standing in your basement, as I do, that yapping to God, and that the words coming out of your mouth and going to heaven. But the Holy Spirit is inside of you if you receive Jesus Christ. There's much more. Your mind, if this is in the Bible, you just have to be paying attention when it shows up, and God will show it to you. But anyway, let's this point here, I was talking about how we have a responsibility to our children. It said, then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? You know, anyway. Abraham shall surely become a great nation and a powerful nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. That's why we bless. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. And that is why Christ came through that promise. Jesus Christ came through that promise. You know, this is something you have to understand. God fulfilled that promise, and it's still going on. Amen. The flow is still going. But the point is, it's the responsibility. God expects us to direct our children. And I see it in mine. I thank God. There is no second to being saved myself. Amen. That to seeing my children and hearing them it's such a blessing to know that they have chosen God on their own. And but now I understand how that occurred, because right now we're going to start talking about this prayer that I've labeled the Ephesian prayer, okay? And I learned it from where I go to worship at Word of Faith International Christian Center under Bishop Keith Butler. I'm going to give him credit for it, because his teaching changed me, you know, from being religious to walking in the right standing of God. And what that means, when you receive Christ, he takes your sin and God puts you in the right position so that you can access the promises of Abraham. Okay? Now, matter of fact, let me give you an establishment on that. Let's go to Galatians and chapter 3 and to the last down there in verse 26. It says, let me go back to the NIV. I'm going to have to get some new Bibles added to my program here. I got all of them on my phone, but not on my computer. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay. For you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, which means what belonged to Abraham belonged to you, because what belonged to Abraham, that was transitioned to Jesus, and what belonged to Jesus belonged to you, and that's everything. Now, you know, but the point, main thing here is that our life is it's a development process. We're not just wandering around here. We already have our mansions. Jesus said that in John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He couldn't lie. If he lied, the whole universe would change, okay? If he lied, God would lie, and that ain't going to happen, all right? So all this is directly connected to prayer, because my point in this is that we have the authority to pray. Everybody, that's what I was leading to earlier. It's nice to offer our want to have our prayers and our thoughts. I don't know what thoughts do yet. Nobody explained that to me. But, well, it's good if you're thinking them, you're praying for them. But understand, there is a qualification for a prayer. Now, the Bible instructs us that through Paul. Paul wrote to one of the pastors under him, Timothy, and 1 Timothy. Let's go there. Might as well. Just follow. I'm just following the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's running the show. Hallelujah. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. That's a big statement there. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For, amen. And for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, Christ is the high priest, we the priest. That changed with the Testament. That's why there was the hunt down in the EU. If you read the book of Acts, And you know it's strange that you got the Jews are hunting down Jews to kill them. Okay, let me explain what that is about, why they're doing that. One is for the Jews who did not have the revelation, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees that did not have the revelation that Jesus Christ was in fact the Christ. See, understand, they know that the Messiah is God manifest in the flesh, okay, based on the Old Testament. The only those that did have the revelation received the revelation, which is a key element of faith. If you don't receive it, you don't get it. God is economical. You know, when you run into an atheist, children are born with faith. That somewhere during time, when you find a person grown and they're atheist, they gave up their faith. Satan tricked them out of it. And they I'm going to give y'all a new term that the Lord gave me that I'm working out. It's called ego narcissism, okay? And there's a lot of that rampant in the church. That's a person that just refused to listen. But this is what we are talking about today. Now, Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, supplication, prayers, and intercession. Now, we want to talk a little bit. I'm talking about a type of intercessory prayer. This is what the Ephesian prayer is. And now, let me read this. This is how I wrote it down and broke it out. This is how it's printed in my book. If you buy a copy of my book, man, The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion. Anyway, it says, Father God, I pray that you bless Gerald with the spirit of your wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the eyes of his understanding be enlightened, that he will know what is the hope of your calling, so that he and the riches of your glory and what is the great exceeding power you made available to those that submit unto him. Anyway, and it's the same prayer that I open up with, really. Now, let me break down. There's a book that you can get, particularly new people. You really need to get it because y'all got to get a crash course. That's why God had me write a book. It's basically a crash course of the doctrines of Christianity, that you need to know. Okay, let me tell you, there's a lot of prophecy, a lot of prophetic information out there, and I get that, and I'm all for that. But right now, you need to know how to protect your family. You need to know how to bless your family. You need to know how to bless your neighbors, even your coworkers and your supervisor or the owner of the business you work on or the governor of your state, the president of the United States. Understand, this is all handled by the body of Christ. Nobody else has that authority, and they don't even utilize it. You know, even my Muslim friends, when a guy explained to me what he prayed five times a day, I told him, I said, you worshiping. That ain't a bad thing. But that is not, they don't do intercessory prayer like that. See, intercession is a priestly responsibility. That's a person that mediates between God and man. And again, only the body of Christ, because of the head of Christ, can do that. That's the only person at that particular prayer God hears from. People can argue, don't debate, okay? Titus 3:9, one of my favorite scriptures, and I know it's in Timothy 2. You do not debate. You can't give a revelation to a person. You cannot change a person's heart or mind. Your job is to do this. See, when you pray for them, the spirit of wisdom, let's talk about that for a second here. Now, the spirit of wisdom is talking about, it uses the Greek word pneuma, from which we get the term pneumatic. A pneumatic tool, which guys that work on cars and different devices work with, understand, it's an air-powered tool, okay? It forces air, and it creates a hammering type of force. It hammers really, you know, it would be like the difference of, like, say you have a stubborn nut that you're trying to take off, and you put a wrench on it, and you take a hammer and tap it. Well, what a air hammer does, or what a pneumatic wrench tool does, is that it shoots air forces real rapidly, and that vibration breaks the nut loose, okay? And you can turn up the force on that accordingly. All right. So what Paul is talking about, and you're thinking about it, when a person comes to earth and they get into life, and think about it, at any time in history, you have had these workings of Satan to encumber people and to change the way that God intended their minds and hearts to function. And their hearts become hardened. You know, when they talked about when the disciples, the Pharisees asked Jesus, should a man divorce for any reason? Jesus said Moses was allowed to give them the bill of divorce because of the hardness of their hearts. So when you think about it, when you talk about the Spirit, what the Spirit does, and I know this from experience, he comes in and he begins to hammer and break away that hardness from your heart so that you can receive from God. It makes you what is called malleable, M-A-L-E-A-B-L-E. Ooh, I did that without biting my tongue off. Anyway, all right? So when you pray for somebody to receive the Spirit of wisdom, whose wisdom? God's wisdom. So you are asking God to reveal himself, to break through to their heart so that they can receive God's understanding about that, about, one, about him and about Jesus. Because let's go back and read the original text in Ephesians chapter 1, okay? And this is where Paul is doing that. He's, remember, whenever you see this, other than the book of Hebrews, all the other books, Colossians, Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, were written to Gentiles who did not grow up other than the ones who became proselytes, being taught Judaism or the way of God, according to the word of God, which would have been, in their case, the Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, what you get is a commentary and an exposition of what was written in the Old Testament. We didn't get nothing new. Jesus said, I didn't come to end the law. I came to fulfill the law. All right. So here it is in verse 15, Ephesians 1:15, it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, understand that. See, one, as I was reading earlier with a commentary from Matthew Henry, thank God for John E. Maddox, who introduced me to those, and how many commentaries. You know, it's something, man. Woo, man, if I had known what I didn't know. Anyway, so first off, see, when everybody that is saved got saved because somebody prayed for them. Okay, that's how they got introduced. All right? So when they come into the knowledge of Christ, and God, this is how he do. You do A, he'll give you B. You do B, he'll give you C. But if you don't do C, he stops there. That's where you stop. That's where he stop. He's economical. And you'll stay right there. This is why you find so many Christians that don't know any of this. They cannot go to God and say, well, my pastor never taught us that. No, listen. Since the 1500s, King James authorized Bibles to be in possession of the average individual. Now, back during their day, that wasn't as, it was legal, but having access was yet another issue. All right? Even though there's another portion of our the body of Christ that still prohibited it all the way up until 1950. So anybody today in 2022 had no excuse. You know, you're not going to be able to tell God you didn't have access with YouTube. They got Bible commentary. Everything's available to you. I got Bibles, commentaries, Bible dictionaries on my cell phone, not to mention my whatever they call that, tablet and every place else. So you can't tell God. You can drive along listening to the Bible. So you can't do that. But see, I had to wonder. I even heard a man of God. I had to wonder if you're Christian, if you don't want to, if you're not in love with the Word of God. How do you not want, listen, do you know how different life would be if every person's epitaph was written? Say you wrote a date a woman and you can go up online and pull up her, how she think, everything she think about? Man, people still be getting married, but I bet you'd be a lot less divorces. Because, see, God has given you his whole mind in the Bible. Or as much as he thinks you need to know in order to successfully pass his judgment. Because God is omniscient. He couldn't put his whole mind in the Bible. We don't know nothing. Oh, we think we know something. Oh, yeah, we got build a rocket to go up in the air and come back down. Yeah, right. Okay. What? In Acts chapter 1, Jesus just floated on up into space, complete command of the environment, okay? In John 20:26, he just appeared. He didn't have to bust the door or nothing. We don't know nothing. That's why we are here to learn, all right? So we see what Paul is doing right here, all right? He say they have a revelation of Jesus, so he's building on that. And that was one of the earliest lessons I learned where I worship at right now, was that I picked up quickly that my pastor, Bishop Keith Butler, did not matter if you said you believed on Jesus, even though you didn't have a full revelation, you know, like many of the denominations don't have. His teaching is where to build the person anyway. This is what prayer is about. If I know that you don't know what the Bible says you should know, I have an obligation, and I should, out of love, want to see you advance. Because if you advance, guess what? Once you grow in the knowledge of prayer, I have some more people praying for me that will make my life better. And right now, please, the more people praying for you, the better. The more praying for you, the better, because there's a war going on. That's why I call this prayer war. What you're seeing right now is the result of a lack of prayer. The fires in California, lack of prayer. I know you may think that it is. God has sat down, actually been sitting down, but that you didn't get some, because it depends on, a lot of pastors bypass prophetic statements because they sound crazy. Okay, and they're too deep for people, you know. But I've heard for more, and usually when God says something, he says it in more, through more than one person. What I heard was my pastor saying that God has said that no longer are you going to be in the middle. And I could tell he was in a prophetic mode, but the atmosphere was prophetic. I could feel the presence of God at a different level. And he said that this riding the fence, this was before COVID hit, long before COVID hit, is over. You either in or you out. You either serious about this, and I noticed how the church thinned out, especially when COVID hit. Because if you're in a relationship, I couldn't wait to get back in there. God's house is different than my house, believe me. Being in the midst, because a bunch of people on one accord bring the anointing at a greater level, especially when they're serious in Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, something wrong with a church that don't praise God, but I pray for them. See, everything is. You know, I was speaking with a person yesterday, and their life is challenged, but I noticed they still stuck on looking at, still stuck on fault finding with Christians, you know, how much truth they don't tell. Now, listen, everybody don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, okay? You know, this is one of the things I've always known. I had one of my earliest teachers taught me about the Catholics. A lot of the research that we lean on, that we utilize to verify teaching, was dug up from the earth by them. They spent millions of dollars over in the Middle East digging up ancient civilization that you're now seeing on the History Channel. Okay, so they put that effort, that was what they did, that's what God gave them to do. Everybody had their part. Then some are teachers. Okay, so we're in this thing together. So I always look at it as, if I saw you on the street fighting and you were outnumbered, I'm going to jump in the fight. I'm not going to even try to figure out who started the fight. Even if you started the fight, until the fight is over, okay, then I'm going to ask questions. But in the meantime, I'm seeing my brother jumped on. That's when you see a person not walking upright before Christ. I don't care what it is. When I see them guys, homeless guys out on the street, have you ever asked them their name? You know, prayer is more effective when you target the person, see? And you got to understand the fullness of prayer, how it works, okay? And this is critical. You know, it's an excellent, the only one I can think of right now is The Art of Prayer. You can probably find, and Prayers That Avail Much, that's a great book. And there's some YouTube videos called Praying with Specific by Bishop Keith Butler. You need to be specific because God wants us to grow and to not do what is called, I call shotgun prayer. For people that haven't ever fired a shotgun, the particular shotgun shell, there's different types. But this one I'm talking about that I carried, it fired what we call I can't even think of it now. But anyway, the shell, the round itself would launch 9 .33 caliber rounds, okay, versus scatter guns, you know. Up close, it would make a big hole, giant hole. You see all 9 rounds go. But the further back the person would be or the wall was, as the rounds come out, they spread out further, and they cover more territory. So you pretty much, you know, I think if you got to have home and protection, and you can get the shortest shotgun with some double-aught buck loaded in there, and then that way you can just stick the gun around the corner and fire the trigger and it'll clear whatever. But bottom line, that's what it was, double-aught buck versus a rifled round, which is a single round, which takes more precision and accuracy to strike a target. Same with a gun, handgun or rifle, okay? But we want to have, like, sniper shots, see? Praying, you know, it's something that I'm thrilled when I pray and then I see a reaction to it and I see a manifestation of what I'm praying. I still, you know, because what's going on, you got to see what's going on in the spiritual realm. You got to know that there's going on, what's going on, and I guess we're going to get to that part sooner or later. Of taking a view at what goes on in the spiritual realm. When we talk about Daniel, we talk a little bit about that. And that's the other thing. You have to let your mind accept the reality that there's a realm, a world going on that your natural eye cannot see. And that's where you have to be. But we're here to learn. And in the process, it helps us to understand why God takes us through this process, because a lot of factors come into play as you have knowledge of the Word of God, fruit of the Spirit, okay? That pretty much cuts out love, how love operates. Remember, we talked about love last time. You know, I have to love the person. Love and like ain't the same thing. I can love you and not like you. It ain't that great, but, you know, it helps if I like you. But it ain't necessarily required for me to like you, to love you, okay? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, it don't really say that. It doesn't say that you like the person, and they don't deserve it. It ain't about that. It's about submitting to the known will of God, which is his word. And I'm going to tell you this. When you do that for others, when your time come, and I guarantee you it will, because the only person that don't slip up is God, okay, all right, it will happen, and in ways you might not expect, that at times you don't expect, God will do the same for you. He'll go find somebody to pray for you. He'll wake somebody's spirit up to pray for you, because I'm telling you, we are powerful people. If you think religiously, you won't get this. God will not try to break you and make you into what he's telling you you should be. He's empowered you. You don't give a person power and then they don't do nothing with it. There are people walking around with power they don't know. You know, I know people, believe me. There are people with guns that end up getting killed because they didn't want to shoot the person and they end up getting shot with their own weapon. That'll never happen to me. Now, while I'm breathing and sleeping, I have to be in a coma or something. No way. And the same thing here. See, when I see and understand everything that comes into play. You got to have in alignment the things that I say that there are things, God does things in order. I put it like that. He does things in order. I want to stay as close to the topic as possible. All right. So you see what Paul is doing here. He's talking to the Ephesians. Now, mind you, there's a major cultural change. The Ephesians would have been the equivalent of New York City. So you're going in there. Some of y'all are going to be assigned to go to New York to preach or Chicago. That's pretty much what you're going to have to deal with. But prayer is what's going to break down the hardest of hearts. We've seen it throughout history. You know, there's people that they used to be hard-hearted individual. I knew a person as a pastor of a church. They were deep into criminal activity than I was. But you know, God took that. Satan took that character and misguided it. And God, through the prayers of the righteous, like I said, that spirit, that pneuma, was allowed to go in and break up that fallow ground, to break up that hardness, and turn them to God. And now they apply that same energy that they were the prime to. Same thing. I know a certain pastor in my family turned his projection. He's as diligent toward the things of God. And I'm not talking about me. Diligent toward the things of God as he was in the world. God just corrects him. But that happened because one person I know prayed. My mother, I used to watch her pray. I could clock her. And see, and that would tell me you don't have to pray alone, but you have to be consistent and you have to live in love. I'll never forget this conversation sitting up in my living in my mother's kitchen. And see, now that I'm in the free world, I knew that she could detect the scent of marijuana on me. And she was talking to me as though I was sober and saved already, which I actually was. I just didn't know it. Okay, completed. I mean, she was sharing the word with me. She had been reading in this big old white coffee table Bible and sharing with me. And I'm just, you know, and I'm like, she must think I'm my brother John or somebody, because John was one of the first ones to go into ministry anyway. But that's how faith works. See, love, faith, prayer works by faith. Faith works by what? Love. That's in Galatians 5:6. Amen. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Who is love? God is love. Faith works by God. Get it? I find people that struggle to get that. Faith works by God. God working in you. Okay? Then you don't need a theological degree. That's why it works. You walk in God. God gets it done. This is why we're who? The body of Christ. So when I pray, it's the same as, matter of fact, let's, you need to get, you this, you have to let God give you this revelation. Now, this is what this is about. Now, before I go to Isaiah 55, I want to, look at, he said that the eyes, ophthalmos, of your understanding being enlightened. See, this is what Paul is saying. I'm going to pray that God do all this. If he don't pray, God don't do all that. I do this daily. This is primarily, you know, at times I want to lay at home. I'll be laying at home and I'm like, I don't really need to go out, you know, Lord, because, you know, I made a couple hundred bucks today sitting at home, all right? So I don't have to go out and drive. But you know what? God, there's a ministry for you to be somewhere. This is for me to be somewhere if prayer plants seeds in people's heart. You may be the first blow. Your prayer may be the first blow to break up the fallowness, the hardness of a person's heart. You might not see it. Paul said, one planteth, another watereth, but God gives the increase. What God is looking at, do you take the love that he has given you, which is synonymous with Christ he has given you, which is synonymous with the word he has given you, and apply it? Now, it may not seem that deep, And you ain't gonna get your face put on a billboard, and you ain't gonna get no award and walk down the red carpet until you get to heaven. And you're gonna see a whole pile of jewels and gold or whatever it is they give for God them set aside for you just because he appreciates you taking the time to pray for somebody that you don't even know. Or you may know. But the fact is, he was able to deal with them because you did what you needed to do. He asked you to do it, and you did. You took 15 seconds to pray, Lord God, I ask you bless them with the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of the understanding that they'll know what is the hope of your calling. See, God can then send angels to start to minister to them. He set it up this way. And this is what he wants us to understand. He called us the body of Christ. We're to work together. Okay? See, this is what this is about. Now, and so now let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. And I know this is really, listen, I just had this week, once a month I treat myself to a steak. And due to the economy, what was once a 22-ounce steak has now been reduced to a 18-ounce. I mean, that thing fill up. My wife has some plates that's 11 inches. I started to take a picture of them once and post it on Facebook. That sucker pick up 3/4 of the plate. And I sit there, you know, what they say, I eat a cow piece by piece. That's what I do. All right? This is what God is expecting us to do. See, to take, just cut it up in little pieces and share a little bit here and there. Now, we're going to Isaiah chapter 55. And if you haven't read the book of Isaiah, add it to your list. But you should, every saint, listen, particularly my new people. Make it your business to take a year. They had this program called Read the Bible in a Year. It means just that. Just read it. Like a newspaper. Just read right through it. And take notes. Come back and check them out later. But just read through that, because what you're doing with this puzzle is getting the pieces on the table. And you're going to find the corners, and then you're going to start to fill it in piece by piece. It is complex. Hey, man, get a copy of my books. It'll help you recognize the pieces. All right. Now, understand here, the God is talking to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was known as the eagle-eyed prophet because he could see a way down the road. He is the person in several portions of his chapter in the book of Isaiah. He wrote down the coming of Jesus Christ 600 years before he came. But now this here really is prophetic right here. And verse 6, Isaiah 55, 6, pay attention to this. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that I may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth, for it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. Now let me you go back to what we read in Galatians chapter 3. It said, if you are in Christ, then you are in Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Now, what this focus point here is, praying the word. Praying the word. And if you think back just recently, this short while ago, when I was talking about the Ephesian prayer, that was based on what is written in the book of Ephesians. Because being in the body of Christ allows me to pray God's word. So when I am praying, the Holy Spirit is praying. When I'm praying the word, the Holy Spirit is praying and establishing the word. That's God. That's, see, all that's working in unity. This is one of the key factors about Jesus, is that he was able and always and only said what the Father said, which means that the Father spoke from heaven, he spoke it out on earth. So what God is expecting for us to do is to emulate Jesus and to speak from when he speaks, speak out on earth. Once you learn the word, this is what you'll get about This is what one of the things that will be revealed to you in a book called Prayers That Avail Much. They have a variety of copies of them. They have specific copies. Prayers That Avail Much for my son. Prayers That Avail Much for my husband. Prayers That Avail Much for my wife. And it gives you scripture that you can pray. And that is God's word. And God's word will do as he said. Just as sure as the snow and the rain come down from heaven. Okay? And it is going to accomplish that which he has sent it. God is authorizing. God is what? Prayer is what? God trusting you with his power. That set in. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. I'm in Christ, okay? That means I have access to the power of God through Jesus. And as God, I have full access to his power. That's how things get done. Satan cannot override that. It take a lot of effort. Well, the thing about praying, this is important, the thing about praying for a person is they do have the right at any time to reject, amen, your efforts to intercede. You can't force them. You know, this, I heard about this thing. I've never even watched one of them videos on this, what they call conversion therapy. Man can't change a person. If they don't willingly submit to God and let their heart be changed, they will not change. I don't care what you do. You know, they going to tell you to get you off their back. Yeah, I receive, I believe, but that ain't going to make no change in the heart. You know, that ain't going to happen. But the point that I'm trying to get here, everything is connected in this area of prayer. What's going on in the world? What's going on in Ukraine for a long time? They're getting the word now. They have for probably the last five or 10 years, but only as it is here in America, only a portion. I know it may seem like nature. That's not nature. Is not tornadoes are not natural. Okay. Tornadoes are not natural. And I'm going to tell you, you need to be, if you're in right standing with God and you happen to be somewhere where there's a tornado, you need to stand and speak. You speak directly toward the tornado and the demons running in it, turning it, twisting it, guiding it. You have to do it. You have to do it. Don't ask God to do it. If you ask God, it won't get done. You know why? Because he authorized you to do it. The point is for you to learn that you have power. Yes, I've seen situations. I saw a testimony of a woman. She stood out on her porch with her arms stretched out and commanded the prince of the power of the air to depart. And that whole neighborhood was tore up but her house. I've seen that on several occasions. It makes a difference. See, and I haven't dealt with it. I did. Matter of fact, it was me and my two sons. I don't know. Two of my sons, we were coming back from a swimming pool, and just so happened one of the few times that a tornado came through the Detroit area, and I was driving. I had a big old Lincoln car, and I was fascinated by it because it was a tremendous amount of power. I mean, that thing was just... Man, it sounded like a bunch of roaring trains. It was crazy, you know, and after a while, it started getting close, and my car was starting to shake, and I was sitting under an overpass, just happened to be able to be under an overpass. Like, it would have helped, but it wouldn't have stopped nothing. So I simply prayed that it go, send that thing, send it away. in the name of Jesus. And it turned, and it went northerly. And that was interesting. But it enforced my ability, my faith in believing that I had such access to power. And as we move forward in time, as we get closer to the end, to the rapture, you're going to need to know this, because the weather is going to get crazier. You've seen people getting crazy. Look at all the mass shooting. The mass shootings are lack of mass prayer. Mass shootings are lack of mass prayer, and you have to pray specifically. You have to qualify for prayer. You have to be in the body of Christ. You have to be walking upright. Now, God will probably make an override, and occasionally he can find somebody to pray in mysteries, a.k.a. pray in the spirit to help you. But it helps for you to know. See, this is why you have to continually try to keep track of your mindset, and your behavior cannot operate in unforgiveness. And this is why things like that keep happening to you. This is why you'll be driving down the street and somebody cut you off in traffic, or even accuse you of cutting them off in traffic. Well, they might even be right. And just to get your mind off of the focus of being in the right place with God so he can slip in and do something. Because, see, if I have a dispute, justified or not, with my wife, I can't pray for Ukraine till that thing is corrected. And then I don't know why God always tell me it's like I'm wrong. He tell me, no, you had to fix it. It ain't about being right or wrong. You had to end it. All right? And, okay, so don't come in the house with your shoes on. If your wife got that kind of a peeve, just take your shoes off at the door. Don't be getting in there. I pay for this. I can come in here when I feel like. No, listen, I'm going to tell you, God used a tone of voice once. He said, that's my daughter. And guess what? Today I take my shoes off coming in the house. I pray for this house. I can come in there. No, I take my shoes off. Why? I don't want to be in a situation. It's you're going to see evil increase as we get. This is what the woman in travail is in the book of Revelation. Find that out on YouTube. Type in woman in travail. Learn about it. Because it's basically saying as the woman get pregnant, if you notice and know anything about women having babies, the closer they get to having the baby, the pain become more fierce and more rapid. So as we get closer to that time, it's going to become more fierce and more rapid. And some things that God can teach you that I haven't even been permitted. Listen, I was going to make a video on a particular type of prayer that's in the Bible, and the Lord told me no. He gave me specifics on when I could do that. See? This is not the first time God has done that, so I know from experience. You will find that. That's why folk be running around. They want to tell the pastor what he should be preaching. It's his boss. You're supposed to go to God and pray for your pastor. You're supposed to go to God and pray for your pastor. And when God decides to fit it in his schedule and in his mind, that's when God do. Everything is about your relationship with God. See, there ain't no more than the pastor. You know, that ain't even happening. It don't matter. Because he's pastor, period. This is God's army. He's the general. You take orders. You serve, period. And call it. I tell you what. Do what God say do, how he say do, when he say do, and you can get what you desire. That's Psalm 37:4. We're going to get on that next time when we talk about prayer. See, I just got another piece of my car that I should have gotten last April, but I got it. See, I mean, you know, it's a toy. That's what my wife called your toy car. But the point of the matter is, I'm getting it done. I mean, this is something. I don't have to do that. And that's not the only thing, man. Like I said, I told you, I made $200 in 20 minutes today, versus driving my car in the shop getting painted, but praise the Lord. So the point of the matter is, if you do that, God will bless you. That's the thing. Remember this. God will bless you. You if he teaches in his word that the laborer is worthy of his hire, you had to run that through K-Rolls and, you know, search anyway. K-Rolls is a Bible program. Labor, God keeps his word. What he tells us to do, he will do. Your prayer, if you pray, if you serve God in prayer, you serve God in prayer, and he not going to bless you. And he's telling people, telling us that we have to bless those that labor, and he not going to bless you. Man, please, you got the wrong God. You missing something. I'm telling you. I don't like these $5 a gallon gas prices, but they're no threat to my economy. They're no threat to my economy. They are no threat to my economy. I still have to watch how much food I eat. I'm not short of eating on food, and I look out for other folk. You know, I'm telling you. All this is connected, but you right now. We want to see. We want to just hold back the devil until the rapture. Then they on their own. That's all we're doing. We're making time so that people can be witnessed to receive the gospel. And that's going to be, I'm going to tell you, a motivator for me witnessing the people. I'm looking for that one person that's going to be the last person to get saved before the rapture. If I find him, I'm out there to hunt. So if you're out playing games, but watch out, because if I find that person, we're going to be gone in a twinkling of an eye. But anyway, so you may just be getting this. You may just have heard this. You may even be after the rapture and you hearing this. But right now, this is as simple as it comes to become part of the body of Christ and in the royal priesthood of God, and to be able to access all the promises that you can pray through the power of God. And it begins with this. Just say this: Lord God in heaven, creator of all earth, I believe your word. I believe what I've heard concerning you. And I accept I ask you for forgiveness for my sin, and I acknowledge my sin, and I ask for forgiveness, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth, I am saved. And if you're coming back to the Lord, just say this: Lord God, I ask forgiveness. Life pressed me. Satan tricked me. And I ask forgiveness, and I receive my forgiveness based on your word. You said that we confess our sin, we are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to make us righteous again, and I thank you for it. Amen. It's that simple. That's the simple part. Now, just then, read the word. Always pray before you read the word, because God will show you what you need to know for your environment, okay? And remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Dear Father, let me pray to you. I got so much to say to you. I was taught not to play with you, so I don't know why I do all the things that I do. First tell my daddy, I said, what it do? Hey dad, we love you and we missing you. Even though you went away at 52, Lord, I know it's better cause he's here with you. Been kinda nervous to take bigger steps, fear the higher heights and the deeper depths. I was cool with the mission that you gave me last, but this new thing, can you pick them first and choose me last? Nevertheless, I'll do what you say. I'll get at it every single night and every day. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. Use my wife, my daughter, and my son. Truck and we all jumping in, taking my soldiers and leaving my friends. We call the kingdom the business of men, thanking the Lord for another star. And I'm preparing to win like another job. The kingdom come, we ain't never done. New levels to this is another walk.
Time to go to another level.